and migrate myself away from the microphone and use my outdoor playground voice. Are we good? We have met Karen. Let's now talk about what the 10 top recommendations are from our students and parents from this year's Speak Up data. We did have about 370,000 surveys that were submitted to us nationwide. You can see what the breakdown is, and then also in terms of the top states that participated. And many of those states are represented here today with some of the schools. The types of questions that we ask on the survey are about learning and teaching with technology. We do ask every year all the respondents to comment on some of the emerging technologies that are out there. The online learning, the use of mobile devices, the idea of digital content being used more extensively in the classroom. We also ask all of the respondents in the survey, whether it's the students, the teachers, the parents, the administrators, or the pre-service teachers, the students that are in the colleges of education right now. So if you had the opportunity to design that ultimate 21st century school or learning environment, what types of technologies do you think would have the greatest impact on learning? And we're going to be talking a little bit about some of that data today as well. I also wanted to let you know that we're doing a second briefing in May on the teacher, the pre-service teacher, and administrator data, and we also handed out some flyers on that. Let's go ahead and start talking about the actual data itself. We're going to do three things. I'm going to set a little context for you to understand where the data is coming from. We're going to look at what we're calling a new student vision in terms of the use of emerging technologies in the classroom, and then discuss some of the recommendations. So as I mentioned, one of the questions that we ask all the respondents is that imagine question. So imagine that you're designing that ultimate school. What technology and tools and services would have the greatest positive impact on your learning? So this is the first opportunity where we're going to use the smart response systems, the handheld student response systems that you have in your hand. And Kimberly, are we already set on the right class on each one? You're going to come up and help. So what I want to do is I want to show you a response. And then I'm going to show you some years. And you're going to tell me what year the students said these were their top responses. So for that question, here were the top three responses from the students. Fast wireless internet access throughout the school, computer labs that stay open after school and on the weekends, and new computers throughout the school so the students could go online anytime they wanted. Do you think that is 2009 data, the recent data I'm sharing today, 2007? 2005 or 2003. So indicate either A, B, C, or D. Everybody okay? You have to choose A, B, C, or D, and then you have to press N. Let's see what our audience said, was what they thought. Audience thought it was D, 2003. The rest of it is pretty much split between whether it was 2009 data, 2007 data, or 2005 data. Okay, so let's see where that survey data actually came from. It is 2003 data. So how interesting to think that way, way back, it seems like ancient history, doesn't it? 2003, the students were already thinking about having that type of untethered learning opportunities, having access to the emerging technologies that were just on the horizon at that point. And yet, to some extent, we still have not met their expectations, even here 7 years later. What we found in our findings, and as I mentioned, we've been doing this since 2003, a real persistent digital disconnect between how the students are living and learning. My friend Jesse will often say that the students need to power down when they go into school and then power up at the end of the school day. We also continue to hear about students' frustration with the lack of technology use in their school. Not to say there isn't technology in the schools, it has to really more do with the lack of using that technology effectively. Last year, we premiered the concept that our students are functioning in many ways as a digital advance team for the rest of us. They're paving the way in terms of their use of emerging technologies outside of school and then bringing those things into school. And the idea that these students are not only adopting the technologies, but actually adapting them for their own 21st century learning is really starting to develop what we call the free agent learner, The student that is untethered, that does have the opportunity to go and seek out information wherever that may be, and use that information to develop their own educational profile. As far as what were the students telling us this year in terms of their ultimate school, the types of technology services and tools that they felt would have the greatest impact on learning, you can see it's sort of a top 10, this is actually a top 12 list of all the things that we've all been talking about, many of which were mentioned in the National Ed Tech Plan. Things such as the use of digital media tools, gaming and simulation, online textbooks, being able to use those computers that they have in their backpack, maybe even though their school doesn't allow it, within the instructional environment. And, in fact, students are still calling for campus-wide internet access and still not necessarily having that. Online classes are on the list. The idea of collaborating with peers. It was interesting. The list was very rich and diversified in terms of the way students were thinking about things. But we started putting all of it together this year. We looked at that persistent digital divide. We looked at the frustration. We looked at those free agent learner concepts and looked at how they were using emerging technologies. And what we started to see develop was, in fact, a new, totally unique student vision for utilizing these emerging technologies to drive not only student achievement, but actually educational productivity. When we started looking at the different concepts and getting a little bit deeper, three big themes came out from the student voice this year. The idea of having more social-based learning environments, that idea of untethered learning, and the idea of a digitally rich learning experience as being paramount for these students in terms of their vision. When we talk about social-based learning, that really is the idea of collaborating with each other, leveraging each other, and also being able to develop a personalized network of experts that they can call on to supplement their education. The untethered learning, as you know, is really the opportunity to not be bound by either the physical limitations, do I have internet access or not, do I have a computer or not, but also to be untethered to seek out quality in terms of educational content and actually even in teaching strategies. And then finally, this idea of a digitally rich learning environment really hones in on what we know from these students in terms of their very high interest in relevancy-based content. And the idea that the digitally rich environments actually add a new level of relevancy, which gets right back to all the things we've been talking about in terms of motivating and engaging these students in the learning process and consequently in school. Let's start off. I'm going to share with you just very briefly a couple of the data points. It's all in the report. And I should probably also tell you that the PowerPoint, as well as the podcast that we're going to do today from our student panel, will be up on our website probably before the end of the week. So please feel free to just sit back and sort of take this all in and know that you've got those resources available to you. So in terms of social-based learning, a couple things that we looked at was really what are these free agent learners doing that really exemplifies their adaptation of the emerging technologies. And what we looked at was some really interesting things. The idea of seeking out other students via their social network to help them on homework situations. The idea of going out and finding experts, maybe creating some sort of a digital media product, all done outside of school, not homework directed, but totally self-directed, with the idea that these students are really taking their own educational destiny into their own purview and with their own right and responsibility to develop it. We also looked at how they were using communication and collaboration tools specifically outside of school. We know that kids are active communicators, but we were surprised to see that they were also very much endorsing the idea of collaboration, whether that is student-to-student collaboration or actually working with some experts in the field. And that could be through some social networking sites, it could be contributions to a blog or to a wiki. So this takes us to our next sort of audience response opportunity to make the presentation interactive here today, and to really have the opportunity to leverage some of those 21st century tools. So what percentage of middle school students told us that they use their social networking site to collaborate with peers on schoolwork or projects? Remember, we're talking about middle school students. So was it 51% of those middle school students, 34%, 21%, or 12%? And go ahead and choose A, B, C, or D and hit enter. What our esteemed audience. So it looks like about a third said 51%, another third said 34%, a little bit less said 21%, and a smaller number said 12%. So Kimberly, let's take a look and see what the actual Speak Up 2009, data freshly from this past fall, had to say. In fact, 34% of our middle school students, a nice healthy one-third of our middle school students, students in grades 6, 7, and 8, told us that they are actively and regularly using a social networking site to collaborate with their peers on schoolwork, on projects, and really an interesting new trend that we've been watching over the last couple years, that these social networking sites, just as many of us are using them, are really not just about posting pictures and lists of favorites. There actually is some serious educational work that's taking place there as well. We thought it was also interesting, we drilled down in the topic of math instruction this year. The last couple of years we've been polling the students on science instruction. So we started asking them about math instruction this year and found out that in fact this interest in social-based learning overlays their interest in math as well, with the students telling us that really in many ways the most helpful ways for them to learn math would be to do it collaboratively, collectively with other students, whether they were playing the teaching role or tutoring role or whether someone else was sharing their expertise with them as well. And in terms of their interest in STEM careers, we know that's something that's very important right now and a big topic of conversation is how to accelerate student interest in science, technology, engineering, and math careers. There also is a strong social-based learning component with their interest in actually meeting with professionals, being mentored, and having some successful role models. Let's talk a little bit about untethered learning. And one of the things that's always been a favorite of the Speak Up data is that we do ask all the students, as well as the teachers, the parents, and the administrators, about their access to different types of technology devices. And so this is really our very latest data on that from 2009. And we see that, yes, students have MP3 players, iPods, great level of proliferation in terms of those, and also access to desktops. The ones that have been growing by leaps and bounds, as you know, over the last couple of years, is not only student access to cell phones, including our youngest students, our kindergarten, first, and second graders, but also this growth of the smartphone. And in fact, our high school number jumped by about 50% from 2008 to 2009 in high school students that are carrying some sort of a smartphone. We also started polling on digital readers, because we thought that was interesting and there's lots of conversation and we're starting to see some access that students have to those devices personally. When we ask students about their interest in using those mobile devices, those computers that may be in a pocket or a backpack, what we heard is that they are interested in them from a learning purposes standpoint, as well as to enhance their own personal productivity. And that gets to a really interesting trend that we've seen the last couple of years in our Speak Up data. That it's not just about the engagement. Really, for these students, it's also about being more productive because of that use of technology. We asked parents about the benefits of using mobile devices for instructional purposes. Would parents buy into this idea that a cell phone or a smartphone could have some academic value within the classroom? And we actually saw some nice, strong value statements from parents about increasing student engagement and preparing students for the world of work. Now we asked teachers that as well, and you can see over 50% of the teachers felt that the use of these type of devices could increase student engagement. But interestingly also, two-thirds of teachers told us that their biggest concern was that it would be these compelling devices would be way too distracting for their students. So we have a mismatch at this point in terms of the value in the actual practice. We'll talk more about what those teacher views are in our event on May 5th. So we have another opportunity for you to share your views with us. We asked parents, would you be willing to purchase a mobile device for your child if your school allowed that child to have a mobile device to use within instruction? Would parents be willing to do that? So do you think 63% of parents, 42% of parents, 29% of parents, or 16% of parents would be willing to do that? So go ahead, A, B, C, and D. So it looks like about a third said 63% of parents. Looks like our winner on this one was the B, 42% of parents, a lesser amount. Under a third said the 29%. In fact, 63% of parents said that they would be willing to purchase a cell phone or some type of mobile device for their child to use within instruction if their school allowed it. So an interesting statement to our schools and districts about where parents are coming from this regard. In terms of online learning, we've seen a huge increase in student interest in taking online classes. As far as the value of online classes, students have always been on the page of looking at it from a standpoint of controlling their own learning destiny. The last is what we're calling essential element is this idea of a digitally rich learning environment. Let me just take you quickly through some of the things that we've polled students on around this. What types of digital resources they're actually using for schoolwork right now, as well as the idea of using this type of digitally rich material within instruction. So what school age group do you think are the most active in terms of uploading and downloading digital media to the internet? So think about photos, think about posting a video to YouTube. Do you think it's preschoolers? Don't laugh. Younger elementary students, kindergarten, first, and second grade, or upper elementary students, third, fourth, and fifth, middle school students, or high school students. So you have five choices here. And this is their use of this type of material outside of school. Okay, so it looked like very few people chose preschoolers. It looks like the crowd favorite was middle school, then followed by high school. Go ahead, Kimberly, thank you. And in fact, it was middle school students. In fact, as you can see, two-thirds of middle school students tell us that they are actively uploading and downloading digital media. In many cases, they are, as you can see, outpacing their older siblings or friends in terms of that digital nativeness around that use of digital media. We asked students about their interest in games. What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna hold this because I'm gonna ask our panel about games as soon as I get them up here. Parents, interestingly, are very supportive about the use of games for learning. And in terms of online textbooks, some questioning that we started last year, we saw that the students' interest really fell into three major categories. Make it interactive and relevant for us, have it facilitate collaboration, and have it give us the opportunity to personalize learning at all levels. All of these charts are in your report, so I'm just going to skim through these because I do want to get to our panel. Now, the key thing that we ask the students, and the whole premise for Speak Up, is this opportunity to give students a voice in, as we're doing here, sort of national policy as well as state policy. But there's a wonderful opportunity for our schools and districts to also engage students. And in fact, 82% of our students through the poll told us that they wanted to be more involved with local decisions. They gave us some suggestions that I'm passing on to you in terms of how they would like to be more involved, whether that's through formal class discussions or formal presentations to their school board, or actually being part of a student advisory panel for the principal. As far as the top 10 recommendations that we're leaving you with today, really this idea of embracing social-based learning, incorporating those online collaboration tools, not to be afraid about using mobile devices within instruction, we think is important. I mentioned before about the idea of it's not just about engagement, it's also about productivity. We do continue to have parents that are concerned about internet access and internet safety, and it's important for our schools and districts to be supportive of those parents. What we heard from students about online learning is that they were very interested in online classes, but were having trouble getting information about how to take online classes. So one of the recommendations we have is being a little bit clearer in terms of providing information. This idea of leveraging digital resources to increase relevancy, we thought was important. And to think creatively about the use of games, not just even for the younger students where we do see that being used, but actually with the older students, particularly around simulations and animations. And understanding that the online textbook concept that the students are talking about is not necessarily a digital reader, it's much more about an interactive experience. And then, of course, engaging students in that local conversation. So what I'd like to do is invite my wonderful panel of experts. Come on up. We're going to have an opportunity. I'm going to poll them with a few questions, and then I'm going to open it up to all of you. So the clickers, no, we don't need the clickers. I just need you. So come on up. And I have to